Can you imagine a world immune to all forms of cancer?
Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come for our fourth annual live stream for the cure.
And this year, we need your help more than ever.
Please join us May 27th through May 31st for 48 hours of live content from guests and podcasts around the world.
We'll be aiming for our most ambitious goal to date as we try to raise $10,000 for the Cancer Research Institute.
Please visit www.livestreamforthecure.com for more information on this year's event and how you can be a part of it. Together, we can make a difference.
Welcome to another episode of Two Peas on a Podcast, counting down movies, music, TV, and pop culture, one top five at a time. And now, here are the Two Peas.
What's up, world? Welcome into another episode of Two Peas. How's everybody doing? Of course, Gerald is here with you, and I'm one pea. Every week, you can pretty much count on this pea. This pea will always be in your life.
Things you can say about this podcast, but not your prostate.
Sometimes it's Andy, but most of the time I bring in a guest host with me, and tonight I have another guest host, and it's a guy that might as well be one of the peas because he's on very, very frequently. One of our longtime friends to the program, Dan from Netflix and Swill. Dan, what's up, brother? How are you?
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm thrilled to have you back. You know, we're buddies in real life, and we've known each other in the podcast game for a few years now. Why don't you tell everybody, because you came up with this topic, and we decided, was it today or yesterday? It was today, right?
No, it's today. This is morning. Yeah. You're like, hey, anybody able to record at 9:30 tonight? And I'm like, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, let's do it. So we're not even 12 hours since we decided to do this, and we put together a list, and what are we counting down today, Danny boy?
All right. Well, to be topical, since COVID-19 is basically shutting down the world, I was wondering, what is everyone's like top five shows that they haven't seen or started, but now we'll have time to because of the COVID-19 quarantine going on?
That's not
going
to fit on the graphic.
No, that's it.
Well, you're right. So TV, it's like a TV show wish list, kind of.
Yeah. Top five shows you wish you started but haven't yet.
Yeah. Top five shows I should have seen, but for whatever reason, I have not yet. What do you think, man? I mean, you do the Netflix thing. So did any Netflix shows make your list or no?
No. Basically, everything I've wanted to see that was a Netflix original, I've seen, or at least tried to see, and, you know, have made an opinion going forward. Mm-hmm. So, there's that. So, mainly, it's stuff that's, on Netflix, but I just don't have the time to get to.
Of course. Well, when you were making the list, I mean, was it are you just, super behind, or was this, the 5 to 10 shows, and that was pretty much it for you? Because I could have gone on and on and on. I've been doing a ton of movies the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But my TV is just really falling by the wayside. Of course, I have young kids, so that has a lot to do with it.
Right.
If it's not a family-friendly show, it's hard for me to really get into it. What about you, man?
Yeah, I mean, you can devote, 2 hours to watching a movie, but you can't devote, 10 to watching a season of a show with kids around. It's not easy. For me, 10 jumped out to me almost immediately. And some of them I've started before, but those are going to be, saved to the honorable mentions. The five are ones I've never seen an episode to at all. Okay. I've seen clips and such, but the 10 jumped out to me very easily, and then, the other ones are just if I feel like it.
I gotcha. And were these, word of mouth picks? People have been talking about them, or you just saw something and it intrigued you, or what makes you want to watch them, in other words?
Mainly they're cultural touchstones. Like, these are like the upper echelon of shows when you think about them. So that's basically what it came down to. And then some of them were like, I'm interested in this premise. I watched some of it. I eventually lost my way and, you know, forgot all about the show. And now we're attempting to circle back to it.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think the cultural touchstone piece is... got a lot to do with mine too, and also you guys, like the podcast community, and like Bubby over there, Ashley, and
don't call her that.
Just a lot of people that
that's our word.
I'm so sorry, man. I thought that was a universal nickname. I apologize, but a lot of people that I respect and that I follow online, to be honest, are like, you know, checking in with them when they're watching it, or like, oh my god, you know, this cliffhanger happened tonight or whatever, and I'm just kind of out of the loop, and I always hate that. And then I hate when I get so behind, because it just gets worse as these seasons pile on, and there's two shows on my list that are like well into their run, and I just, for whatever reason, never got on, and now it's like so daunting to get started. Do you know what I
right.
mean?
Right. Yeah, no, I get that. Like, there's a couple shows on my list that are like seasons upon seasons of shows, and it's like, I don't know how I'm ever going to get through this.
All right, guys, so this is a special episode. You know, Dan mentioned it, and just to let everyone know, we, of course, are thinking of everyone out there during the crisis for COVID-19. Coronavirus is hitting, you know, Dan and I were actually just talking about it pre-recording. It's hitting us, too, really hitting everyone in the country, if not the world, to be honest. It's just a crazy time right now. And one of the few things that we all have the ability to do, or most of us, is stream television shows. So we said, you know, let's give them a list of some stuff that maybe they could check out, but that, honestly, Dan, you and I need to get on the ball and check out too.
Yeah.
As we're trying to get through this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're going to do our top five TV shows that we should have seen by now, but have not. Dan, do you want to get started, or do you want me to go first? I'll let you pick. Friends here.
I'll go first. Fuck it. Who cares?
Do it, man. What's your number five?
My number five is a recurring segment on my podcast right now, entitled Caleb Watches Star Trek The Next Generation. So I want to watch Star Trek The Next Generation.
Okay. All right. Is that still running?
No. It's on Netflix right now, though.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, they're doing a sequel series called Picard. And that's kind of like renewed the interest in Star Trek The Next Generation. And that's mainly why Caleb was watching it. We're fans of Red Letter Media, so like we want to know what the fuck they're talking about sometimes, because they'll reference like Star Trek The Next Generation episodes, and we're like, what the fuck does this mean? So Caleb is experimenting with this and watching them. So based off of just his reaction, I'm like, yeah, I could get into this. So it's one of those things, like, I've never seen an episode. I've watched like the original Star Trek. I've watched Star Trek Enterprise with my dad in the 2000s. But other than that, like, no, Star Trek hasn't really been my thing. So
Star Wars, right? I mean, I know you've got Ashley going through the catalog of the Star Wars films now, but you weren't really into that one either, are you?
Not really. No.
Yeah.
No.
Where do you fall, Star Trek versus Star Wars, though?
I think Star Trek actually has more to say than Star Wars. I think Star Wars is just like a big, dumb drama action movie, where Star Trek at least originally tried to be more philosophical in its approach.
So you've probably heard me do this, Dan. So that's your number five, Star Trek The Next Generation. You've probably heard me do this lately, Dan, because you listen to the show frequently. But I've been doing this thing where, especially in a situation like this, because we decided to do this today, you know, literally like 10 or 12 hours ago. And I'll go ahead and make my list, but I won't order it. So I know what my number one is, just because I've really, really wanted to watch it for a long, long time. But aside from that, the other nine that I have listed here could be anywhere. Because frankly, the whole point of this list is I don't know anything about these. I mean, I know, you know, the premises, obviously, or I wouldn't be interested. But aside from the basic, like, generic narrative of the shows, I don't really know anything about them. So I'm not really sure where to put them. So what I did is I kind of just put them in, like, my desire to watch them, you know, like the five shows that if there were only five I could watch that I'd never seen, these would be the five. So the first one I'm going to do is a comedy. I want to say it's streaming on Hulu right now. And I've heard you and Nick, our buddy over there at EFG, just rave about it. And I've never seen one frame of the show, but I've wanted to for probably about a year now. But it's a show called Letterkenny.
Give your balls a tug, you tit fucker.
Yeah, you've seen this. You love this show.
Yeah, there's eight seasons. They're about seven episodes a season. They're about 25-minute episodes, too. So it's not like you're sinking a whole time, like massive time investment into watching a season. Like, you could polish off a season once the kids go to bed.
So what's the, tell the folks what the premise is, and me, to be honest.
Oh man. The premise, it's not to borrow too much from Seinfeld, but it's a show about nothing, basically. It's about four friends in the fictional town of Letterkenny, Canada, and they just bullshit around, and they talk about their problems of them in the town. Like, it's four friends who are, like, the hicks, and then you have the skids, who are basically the druggies, then you have the hockey players, and they make up the main group of, like, what Letterkenny is. It basically divides into these three groups and how they interact with each other, interact among themselves, and find themselves in, like, situations that are slightly comedic.
Okay. Vulgar? Profanity
yes.
on the show?
Yes, all very right. much. Right. I just gave you a line from the show. Give your balls a tug.
That's right.
Tit
That's
fucker.
Right. You did. That's right.
So, yes, they say right. the fuck word.
I'm going to get on it. I like the fact that it's, you know, what'd you say, 20 to 25 minutes, basically?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. And, you know, back when I was streaming, like, The Office and Parks and Rec and that kind of stuff without the commercials, it would be, like, 23 minutes, and it was, like, perfect, you know, so.
Yeah, and this is on Hulu. There's no, as far as I know, there's no commercials, but I, of course, borrow Bubby's plan, and she has the $12 a month plan, which is no ads.
Yeah, so. same here. Got to do that, man, especially I bundled it with my Disney Plus, man. I'm all over the place.
She did the same thing, which is how we're watching the Star Wars.
That's right. I love it, man.
Didn't Disney say they were putting Star Wars Rise of Skywalker on Disney Plus early? Or did I misread that?
They're offering it on demand platforms early.
Oh,
you can get it on Vudu and iTunes and stuff like that. You can rent it for like $4.99.
Okay, good. But, I can't wait to torrent it in a few weeks when that comes up for series.
I'm going to give you the digital code. I already told you that.
No, I don't want it. I don't want to give them the
You'd
money.
Rather rip it. You'd rather
yeah,
rip
I'd,
it.
Yeah, I'd rather rip it and tell them to fuck off.
Well, I mean, I already bought it. It's my digital code. I'm never going to use it, so I was going to give it to you. But yeah, whatever you want to do over there, man, I'm going to let you live your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
All right, you're up, brother. What's your number four?
All right, one of my favorite Netflix originals, before its main star decided to be a pedophile, and really by that I mean he's been a pedophile all his life,
yeah.
And it only recently came out, but was House of Cards.
Yeah.
So there's a predecessor show about the Oval Office from like maybe 20 years prior, titled The West Wing.
Yeah.
With Martin Sheen, Rob Lowe, and like... I want that. I want to see more inside the Oval Office stuff. Like the West Wing was considered like ahead of its time in terms of that.
Yeah.
I think it's a Sorkin.
Yeah, written by Aaron Sorkin. Yeah.
Yeah, it's another Sorkin thing. So like he really likes his White House stuff. So yeah, that's really what it is.
That.
Like the cast and the writing.
I watched it for a while. That was an older one. That's been a while. I can't really recollect it too vividly, but I did. I didn't stick with it.
Sure.
That was one of the shows that I started, and it was before I was streaming a lot of programs, so you would have to like tune in weekly, basically.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, after you miss a couple episodes, you're lost, and then like, you know, I remember my grandmother watched it too, and she would like talk to me about it, and we had a blast talking on the phone about it, and there was a period of time where I don't remember what happened in my life, but I just missed like a season, or I missed like several episodes, and then I never jumped back on the train, so, but it was a great show, and it's very well-respected too, so that's a good pick.
Yeah.
Do you know where that one's streaming at by chance?
Netflix.
Netflix. There you go. Well, there you go. Then you have very easy access to stream it then.
Yeah, my first two are actually on Netflix right now. Actually, most of these are on Netflix right now. I think five of them. Five of them are on Netflix right now out of my top 10.
So I've got a couple HBO shows on my top in my top five. I feel like, and I guess we could have talked about this in the intro, but I feel like HBO is... They know what they're doing for television programs. Do you agree with that? I mean, they make a good program over there at HBO.
Sure. I think Netflix is like throwing a lot of darts on the board and seeing what sticks. HBO is just like prestige show. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all they want.
They just do good TV, though, man. I mean, it's like really well produced, and there's a lot of shows. Like, if you go on the HBO app, for example, or you know, the HBO Go or whatever, and you look at the different programs that they've had over the years, because you know, you can watch any of them as long as you have the platform.
Mm-hmm.
There's not many that I haven't seen. Like, I always am intrigued by a show just because they're doing it. And I feel like that says a lot about that studio. But the one I'm going to mention is just racked up an award season this past year. And I want to say they've only had the one season. I never got onto it, but I can't wait to stream it. But Chernobyl. Did you watch Chernobyl?
No, I don't own HBO.
Okay. You're familiar with the show, though?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
It was one of those shows that When They See Us lost to, which Like, When They See Us wasn't even nominated for any of the categories that Chernobyl was nominated for some fucking reason.
Mm.
And I'll never understand that, but I mean, okay.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I haven't seen that one either, but I hear that. I've heard that before. But yeah, Stellan Skarsgård, Jesse Buckley.
I was going to say, you've heard that because you listened to Colby Mack talk.
Yes, that's true. That's true. But yeah, I mean, I just heard so many good things about Chernobyl, and the things that I did see in terms of like the trailer and the clips and then during award season and stuff like that. I mean, it's just shot very beautifully. I love, you know, period pieces that are like, you know, historical, coming from an historical event. And obviously this was, you know, the Soviet explosion of the nuclear power plant. And I think it was in the 80s, Chernobyl, I believe. I think it was 80s that the actual event occurred.
I think so.
Yeah, I do too. I'm so sorry. I should have looked it up. But anyway, I do remember it happening. So I know it was when I was old enough to actually, you know, pay attention. So I want to say it was the 80s, but there's a possibility it could have been the 90s. But it just intrigues me. And, you know, the acting, the actors that are in it are phenomenal. You know, Jesse Buckley, I just saw recently in Wild Rose, which is a movie I really liked this past year. She's in there. Stellan Skarsgård, who's always been one of my faves, especially from, he's a character actor, but he's been in a ton of stuff. Good Will Hunting, Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. So yeah, I want to see Chernobyl, so I'm going to check it out. In fact, it'll probably be the next like dramatic show that I take on because it's only been one season, so I feel like I can get through it pretty
sure,
quickly.
Sure, yeah, it's a limited series. You're never going to get more episodes than that.
Yep, there you go. So I got to get on it. I got to knock it out. I'm going to make a commitment to do that. I might have more time on my hands soon, Dan, so maybe I'll make that happen.
Yes.
All right, brother. So West Wing was your four. What is your number three, man?
This is one that is like the three closest people to me say it's a great show and I should watch it. It is Twin Peaks. So I've been told by Caleb, Corey, and Bubby that this is a great show.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, with the three people I trust the most, I have to watch it. That said, it's from David Lynch. I've seen one David Lynch thing. It was that thing he did for Netflix. What Did Jack Do? That was
A little short film or whatever.
Yeah, which was fucking weird. So I don't know if I'll be able to stomach David Lynch over two seasons of 20-something episodes.
Well, I just want to confirm, are they referring to the original 90s? Because there's been a revival of that.
Oh, yeah. They're talking about the original version of it.
Okay, because there was a reimagining of it in 2017, I believe, which actually I didn't mind because a lot of the same actors came back for it. But I'm a David Lynch fan, and I remember watching Twin Peaks in the 90s, and I'm going to give you another recommendation to watch this. I haven't seen it in probably 20 years, but I mean, David Lynch is such a unique and just he has that very keen eye for filmmaking. I love his movies as well. You know, Wild at Heart is one of my favorite films of all time with Nick Cage. But yeah, I love David Lynch, man, and it's a very creepy vibe, but very cool, and it's shot beautifully. So I agree with them, and I'm glad it's on your list. I'm surprised. It doesn't seem like a Dan show to me.
It's weird. I typically like weird things.
Okay.
So like,
Then
it should be on there. I mean, What Did Jack Do should have been like a much higher regarded thing for me, but I think it was just too weird. So maybe back in like the 90s, David Lynch was a bit more tame. But this is also on Netflix, so there's my trend. And of the top five, this is the last one that's on Netflix right now for me to stream. So
all right, well, you're talking about Netflix, I was talking about HBO. So my other HBO show that was in my top five is my number three, and it's Westworld.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Never watched it. Wanted to. It was kind of coming on the heels of Game of Thrones. So it was a little bit as that was kind of dying off. I want to say Westworld premiered right before the last season of Game of Thrones. And it was kind of supposed to be that next big kind of like fantasy adventure show for them. I don't think it's nearly as big as Game of Thrones was, at least from, you know, like pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
But it does look very intriguing and kind of like you said earlier with Twin Peaks, it looks weird and it's got the sci-fi elements. It's got some great actors involved in it. And I love me an HBO show, which I already mentioned. So I just don't know, man. I mean, what do you think? I feel like it might be too involved as a viewer for Westworld. I'm starting to get that impression from different like reviews I've seen and trailers I've seen. Does this one intrigue you at all? Have you seen this one?
Well, Gerald, as I told you before, I don't have HBO. I've never watched HBO. So, like, HBO everything is a giant blind spot for me. So, really, no, not really. Like, maybe I will watch HBO at some point and like, maybe this would be on the list, but there are other shows, wink, nudge, nudge, hint, hint, that I would rather watch instead of Westworld.
Yeah, I hear that. I don't know, man. It's just, it does intrigue me, and I felt like it was going to fill a void for me when Game of Thrones ended, but I was an idiot and never started watching it, and I want to say there's been three seasons now.
The third season just started.
So I'm a little behind the eight ball on that one, too, but I think Chernobyl's going to come first for me, and then maybe I'll see if I want to get deep into Westworld there. I don't know, but it's always been on my radar, so I wanted to throw it on here. So that's my number three, and we are up to our runner-ups, guys. Again, we're counting down our TV shows that we wish we had seen, but for whatever reason, we have not yet. Dan, what's your runner-up, man?
So this begins the HBO run. I'm talking about The Wire. Five seasons, predominantly black cast with Dominic West. I don't know why I want to see Dominic West in something. I think the only thing I remember him in was Punisher Warzone is Jigsaw, and he was not particularly good. Neither was that movie. But this has Idris Elba in it, and that already has me intrigued because I love Idris Elba in most things. Mm-hmm. Even in Hobbs and Shaw, he was like not the best part, but he was a pretty good part of that movie. The Rock was the worst part of that movie, which I never thought I'd say that about The Rock, but he was just terrible.
Wow, I didn't see that one, but that surprises me.
But regardless, Idris Elba, great actor. I want to see him do like great stuff. So him in The Wire, yes, please.
Mm-hmm. He's got COVID-19, by the way. Did you hear that?
Of course.
Yeah, I figured he did, but it just came out like yesterday, so I didn't know if I was going to be one breaking news to you or not. But
I mean, he also raps, so I mean, there's that. How can you say no to that guy?
Yeah, I know. I love me some Idris Elba, but he was on my top five hunks, Hollywood hunks.
I'm real proud of you.
Yeah, I did that, man. So The Wire is a great show. That was one that I watched every week, along with like The Sopranos as well on HBO. I used to watch every Sunday night when those shows came on. Very high tension on that show. It takes place in Baltimore. Great show, man. A lot of people say one of the best dramatic series of all time, The Wire. So
yeah, a lot of it's word of mouth, but a lot of it is also like, you know, it's mainly word of mouth. It's like, hey, this is a great show. Everyone should be watching this. And
right, right.
Being that I never had HBO, it was just something I never watched.
Yeah, no, I get it. Well, I got a fairly new show as my runner-up. This also racked up this past award season for like the Emmys and Golden Globes and things like that. It is a comedy. It's got one of the things that intrigues me the most about it is it's got an actress that I'm just infatuated with, that I just love her so much. Such a great actress, so talented. Blew me away last year in The Favorite. I'm talking about Olivia Colman, and she's in a show called Fleabag, which is on Amazon. You've heard of Fleabag?
Oh, of course.
Well, you were quiet, so I don't know if you had.
I'm sorry I let you talk, Gerald.
No, it's okay. You should be.
Every other fucking second.
I mean, Andy does.
Oh, my God.
I don't know much about Fleabag, though, is the sad part. I've seen a trailer, and that's literally about it. And I know Olivia Colman's in it, and I know that it's well-received on Rotten Tomatoes. And like I said, it was an award darling this past year. But I do know it's a comedy, and I have Amazon Prime, so it's very easy for me to throw this one on. I just haven't done it yet. Have you checked out Fleabag, or what do you know of it? Are you interested in this one?
Ish. Yeah. It wouldn't make my top 10, but like, there's only one show from Amazon on my top 10, and it's very Dan, and it's something I've already checked out. So anybody who's kind of paid attention to what I say will know what it is. But yeah, okay. Fleabag is on the list, but maybe like way farther down. Like there's just a bunch of other like classic television that I have to watch instead.
Yeah, I mean, even the IMDb tagline for it's super vague, but it just says it's a young woman trying to cope with life in London while coming to terms with a recent tragedy. So even that's like super vague. So, but yeah, I mean, I've heard great things about it. Super high ratings on IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes, and everybody seems to love it. So I think this is one my wife started to watch too. And then she was like, you know, I'm going to wait and watch this with you. I think you'll like it. And that's always a good recommendation too, because my wife knows me pretty well. And she usually knows what I'm into.
I would hope so.
So, well, you would think maybe not. Why'd she marry me? Am I right?
Yeah.
But anyway, Fleabag is my runner-up, streaming on Amazon. We're up to our number ones, man. So we're flying through it here. Where are we at, Dan? We're at 27 minutes, so we're going through it here, brother. What is your number one program that you have not put eyes on yet, but you should have?
So I have seen a few minutes of this when Ashley would watch it. She watched the show at your recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of your favorite shows of all time. And in fact, you just mentioned it. It is The Sopranos.
Oh, my God. I'm so proud of you and her and me and everybody involved right now. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
This is my favorite show of all time.
Yeah, so like it's like one of the most critically acclaimed television shows of all time. So like yeah, it's a perfect storm for me missing something. Now, like I said, and I'm pulling a Gerald here as I explain this multiple times during an episode, but I don't own HBO. I've never owned HBO. So, you know, it just completely passed me by. I mean, there are other shows that like are further down the list that are probably rated higher by other people.
Mm-hmm.
But like I've probably seen a few episodes of those and just went, I'll get back to this.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that in honorable mentions. But like this is one that's like never seen it, gotta see it, or at least try it.
Well, I love it. You know what I would tell you to do? Well, you said she's going through it though, right? Ashley's watching it.
She's done. This was maybe 6 months to a year ago she was doing this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a great show, man. I was gonna say if you have 45 minutes one night, if you could just stream an episode called College from the first season, because what they did with that episode is it was centralized just to that one show. So it didn't connect to any of the other episodes, but you could get it's almost like a short film with Tony Soprano. And the only main characters in that one episode are him and his daughter, Meadow Soprano. And he's taking her on tours of different colleges because she's about to go into university. And then something happens. But again, it's not connected to anything else that had already happened or that happens in the future. It's just like a one-off. And it was a really cool episode. And that's what I always point people towards when they want to kind of taste the Sopranos and dip their toes in the water there. So I don't know if that interests you or if you just want to fly through, you know, all six or seven seasons or whatever it was. So, but yeah, Sopranos, I love it, man. That's thrilling. I didn't even think that would be on your list, let alone your number one.
Oh yeah.
But there you go.
No, like I said, the 10 flowed freely from my pen at work today.
That's awesome.
And it was like, how do I order them?
That's awesome, man.
That's how it went.
Well, you know what? Maybe I'll rewatch it with you because I love that show and I've actually been wanting to rewatch it. I think Ashley and I are going to do that for Rabbit Ears unless she gave it to somebody else.
No, she gave it to you.
Okay, cool.
And I think it was like November she was watching that. And yep. Then I guess she just, I don't know what the fuck her schedule is. I don't even try with her at well, points.
We're doing, her and I are doing Party Down this month.
Oh, that's what it was. She was watching Sopranos and then like she started watching Party Down and then you were like, oh, I love that show. So that Party fewer, Down bumped Sopranos.
Right. There's fewer or less research, shall we say, with Party Down because it's literally just dick humor and just there's a lot few. They're 30-minute episodes and it's fewer seasons and so on. So
right.
It just showed up on Hulu, Party Down. And I was like, oh, my God. And, yeah, so we're going to do that one. But I think Sopranos is going to be for a future episode with her. But that's my favorite show of all time, man. So I'm happy you named that one. Speaking of Ashley, she has been berating me to watch my number one for really a couple years now. When her and I got together this past December and we did our top five TV shows of the decade. And this was a hot topic of conversation because we discussed Breaking Bad, which is one of my favorite shows of all time. But I've never seen Better Call Saul. So that's my number one.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I haven't seen it either. It's not on my list at all because I haven't seen Breaking Bad or I've mm-hmm. seen a few episodes of Breaking Bad. I wonder where that is. I don't have any frame of reference for this show. Mm-hmm. So like I can't say like, oh, okay, I like Breaking Bad, so I'm going to want to watch Better Call Saul. Like,
right. No, I get it. I have very fond memories. It's going to sound weird because of the premise of Breaking Bad, but I have really fond memories because my wife and I binged Breaking Bad when the last season was on the air. And it culminated, and this is no kidding, it culminated in her and I watching like the last three episodes of the new season or of what ended up being the final season
mm-hmm.
in the hospital room while she was going through labor with my first child, my 6-year-old son.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
So we watched Breaking Bad leading up to her going into labor. And then, you know, she was in labor for like 20 hours or whatever. So I was like, do you want to finish Breaking Bad? She's like, you dick. But yes, I do. So we watched it. So there you go. So I have very fond memories of Breaking Bad just in general from that time in my life. But it's also obviously an amazing show. And I've heard Better Call Saul is just such a great compliment to it. And some people are saying it's better than Breaking Bad, which really set me back when I heard people that I trust to start saying that. You know what I mean? So
right.
It would be like if some kind of prequel show to The Sopranos came out, which I'm sure it will at some point, and people
aren't they doing a prequel movie?
They're moving, with, yeah. They're doing a movie with his son.
With his son, yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Of course, that's a movie, but anyway, I really am way behind. Obviously, from a season standpoint, yes, but just from my fandom standpoint, I should have been all over Breaking Call or Breaking Saul.
Sure, good enough.
Breaking Call Saul. I should have been all over that.
Yeah,
but I wasn't, so I missed the boat there. But I'm going to get on it. And if Ashley's listening, please, Ashley, you see right here, it's number one on my to-do list. So Better Call Saul, which I don't know where that's streaming, Dan, but I want to say it's on Netflix. Yeah, Netflix. Yeah, I should put in the show notes where all these are streaming in case people actually want to check them out. Let's do a wrap up real quick, Dan. What was your five shows that you want to watch that are on your top of your wish list?
All right, number five, Star Trek The Next Generation. Four, The West Wing. Three, Twin Peaks. Two, The Wire. And number one, The Sopranos.
There you go. My top five was Letterkenny. Number four was Chernobyl. Number three was Westworld. Number two was Fleabag. And my number one was Better Call Saul. Breaking Saul. what do you want to do, man? Let's do some honorable mentions. You round out your top 10 on the P's, right?
Yeah, Gerald, as you know, anytime I come on the two P's, I've got to round out that top 10, man.
Got to, brother.
Got to, 100% of the time. So my number six, Breaking Bad. It is Ashley's favorite show, or if not, Better Call Saul, either or. But yeah, I've seen like five episodes of it and just went, I'll get back to this.
Okay.
And never got back to it. So yeah.
Real quick, was it the first five? Did you watch like the first five episodes?
Oh yeah, no, of course.
Because it escalates quickly, bro.
No. So. Like I watched the first five episodes. I'm like, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm,
and yeah. Just went, this. I'm probably not watching this at the right time. So I'll just give it a bit before everyone stops freaking out about the show.
I gotcha.
And then of course, Better Call Saul continues, and then El Camino came out. So it's just like everyone's freaking out about it. So it's like at some point I'll get to this.
I heard that. Go ahead, buddy.
Seven is True Detective, particularly season one, because it talks about like cults and shit, and I like cults. Mm-hmm. If anyone knows me, I like cults. Mm-hmm. Eight, Man in the High Castle. I've seen like 2-3 episodes of this show on Amazon. It's alternate history. I love alternate history. I love history in general, but I love me some alternate history. Basically about like how the Nazis actually did win World War II and how they took over America and what America is now and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Nine, Game of Thrones. Yes, I know they ruined the last season. Yes, I don't care. I want to see for myself and be like, no, this is fine. You're all just being big babies. And then 10 is Mad Men.
Yeah, me too on Mad Men. I didn't put it in my 10, but I do wish I had caught that one.
I've never seen it, but I feel like I would not like it, which is why it's at 10. But everyone talks about how great it is. I just feel like it's probably not for me, ultimately.
Yeah, no, I get that. All right, well, let me round out my top 10, which I was telling you earlier, I don't really know what it is. So I'm just going to kind of mention the other five that didn't make my top five, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A couple that you'll probably know because they are Netflix shows, but a Netflix show called You, which I've heard, I didn't want to get spoilers, so I kind of skipped through, but I've heard you and Caleb talk about that show. I guess...
No.
You've mentioned You, though.
We've mentioned it.
That's what I mean, yeah. You've mentioned kind of like the public's reaction to it, I guess. But isn't he like a Dexter? Isn't it like a Dexter type deal or no?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware.
Okay, because you guys were talking about that, and then I kind of like skipped through because I was like, I don't know what they're going to say here.
I've never watched that show, and I really have no interest to.
Okay, I kind of want to, but also I wonder if it's because I was such a big fan of Dexter.
It's a Lifetime. It was originally a Lifetime show, so like it can't be good. Like, I'm sorry.
Fair enough.
Lifetime is like CW. It's garbage.
Fair enough. But you're going to like this one, BoJack Horseman. I've watched one episode. So
Fine a fucking Lee.
So I kind of cheated a little bit, but I watched one episode. It was hilarious. And then it kind of like what you were saying with Breaking Bad. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to get back to this. I'm going to watch this, you know. And then I find myself watching reruns of The Office again. So it's my fault. I'm a fuck up. I need to stop watching The Office and start watching BoJack. So
can't wait till it's never on Netflix again and I never have to hear someone use that excuse.
But that really does happen to me frequently. That and Parks and Rec. So I'm sorry, man. Let's see. A show called Billions on Showtime is kind of like a Wall Street Greed type show. It looks really, sure. It looks really good. It's got Paul Giamatti in it. I want to check that one out. And the dude, the redheaded dude that was on Homeland, Damian Lewis is in there, I think, on Billions.
Oh, isn't he the guy who played Charles Manson in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Oh, shit, did he?
I think so.
Wow, you just blew my mind. I didn't even know that he played that, but you might be right because he has such a small role in the movie. I don't know. I'm going to go research that now. You might be right. How many is that? I got two more, right? And then I said BoJack. Mindhunter, which is another Netflix show from David Fincher, was involved in that program. And
oh, you haven't seen that?
I haven't seen Mindhunter, but I want to.
Oh, I was wrong. That is not who I thought it was.
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to say, did he play that? Because I didn't know that.
But, no. Oh, he wasn't Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because he was Steve McQueen.
That's right. Yeah, he did play Steve McQueen. Yep, that was him. Yep. And then my number 10 would have been a show that my wife's been watching that I've caught glimpses of, but it's weird because when I catch a glimpse of a show and it intrigues me, then I feel like that is proof that I should be watching it because otherwise I just wouldn't give a shit. But it's a show called Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon. Are you familiar with that one?
I mean, I see it on Amazon. So I use Amazon mainly for its B-movies.
Okay.
Like we have B-movie Saturday here. We've watched such classic gems as Hollywood Cop. Chopping Mall.
Chopping Mall's classic. Don't you dare talk bad about Chopping
Mall. I love Chopping Mall's great. It's a fun throwaway movie. We just watched Sleepaway Camp this weekend.
Nice.
Nick's listening to this episode being like, what the fuck are these movies?
Did you hear me and Paul discuss our 80s horror by chance on the countdown?
Yes.
Yeah, I did Sleepaway Camp. He wasn't a fan, but that one really affected me as a young kid, and I just won't leave my psyche, you know what I mean?
My favorite part about that is the end of the movie where they clearly put a mask of the girl, like, yelling yeah. on some, like,
yeah.
little person's, like, body.
Yeah. No, the effects, if you want to even call them that, are super dated.
Yes.
But it wasn't something I saw coming at, you know, 12 years old when I saw it or whatever, so... I love Sleepaway Camp, but okay, so let's go over to social media, Dan. We're going to open up the old suggestion box over here and see what the fans had to say. You know, we just threw this up today, so we didn't get a ton of feedback, but I'll start over on Twitter. Top 5 podcast says Mad Men and Breaking Bad. Two powerhouses there.
Yeah, sure.
And we mentioned both. The aforementioned Colby Mack from Colby Told Me. Love that dude. He's got a couple on here that we didn't mention, and then a few that we did. He says Chernobyl, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Fleabag, Hunters, and Watchmen. Hunters is Amazon, I think, but I've seen a trailer for that one recently, actually. But go ahead, what were we going to say?
Most of those are Amazon. Paul and Wayne very much do not like Hunters.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm trusting Paul on this one and avoiding that show.
I saw it had a little bit of controversy based on the source material when I was watching the news the other evening, but I don't know. I'm kind of over Pacino a little bit too. I know that's not fair to say, but I'm just not as excited about stuff that he's, you know, driving, if that makes sense.
What are you talking about? Jack and Jill is a masterpiece.
Sure, man. Sure. let's see. Swamp Thing on Twitter says Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which I agree. I got to get on that one. The Hera Club podcast says The Cold Case Files. I'm not familiar with that one. I think that might be a CBS show.
Sounds like some true crime bullshit that I don't care about.
You'll like this one, though. Real Horror Show on Twitter says Black Mirror. You know I love that one. One of my favorite shows really ever. But
that's one of those... So, like, I guess I'm going to call this person weird, but that's weird that you haven't seen a Black Mirror episode, considering the fact that it's not like...
They're one-offs.
They're one-offs. You don't have to pay attention. Like, you're not following stories through and through. You're getting, like, Easter eggs
right.
from, like, prior episodes.
Maybe we're telling them that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can literally pick any episode that the title intrigues you and just watch it.
You can start at the beginning and get the craziest fucking episode and never watch the show again.
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah. Wow. National anthem, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's go over to the Facebook fan page. Dan, as you know, that is where we interact with our fans the most. Please join up in the show notes if you have not already to the Facebook fan community. These guys are awesome. Travis Crawford over there says he has so many, but he's gonna mention Better Call Saul, The Expanse, and The Wire. I don't know The Expanse, do you?
That is a former sci-fi show that was canceled after season 3, but then picked up on Amazon for season 4. It's okay. I've heard good things.
right.
It's up there in terms of me wanting to see it. It's entirely on Amazon, like, so they acquired it outright. It's like Lucifer with Netflix. It was one of those kind of deals.
Amanda, our buddy that actually joined you and I when we did our movies of 2019, Dan, you know Miss Amanda over there. She's got Breaking Bad, Westworld, The Sopranos, The Good Place, and Schitt's Creek. I've seen 4 out of 5 of those, and that's a good list, Amanda, and you need to get on it.
I've seen none of those shows, Amanda.
You haven't seen The Good Place either, huh?
No. Ashley was like, man, this show sucks.
Oh, really?
But that was before she got to, I don't know how far Amanda is. So, Amanda, spoilers, cut ahead like 20 seconds. before she read about the plot twist that they were in hell the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard people raving about The Good Place, and I that's one that I actually started watching, so I couldn't put it on my list. I watched like the first 2 seasons in full, and then I stopped. So I've got a very good like base knowledge of The Good Place, so I didn't want to put it on this list because it wouldn't have made sense. But
right,
I've seen all those. Schitt's Creek, I absolutely love. I binged the hell out of that one actually on Netflix, and the last season's either currently airing or it just ended. So yeah, it's a great list. Chris Yanni's got Community. Were you a fan of Community?
6 seasons in a movie. I watched like the first 3 seasons, like as it was coming out, which was impressive at the time because I was in college. But it's coming to Netflix on April 1st. So, Chris, you can get on it.
Yeah. Lauren Scott has been on the show before. I love her. She's down in Disney World. So, obviously, sending her all the best vibes because I know they're struggling down there as well. But she says The Mandalorian. And that shocks me because, first of all, she's like a Disney princess, like an actual living Disney princess. So she's all things Disney. She's I want to say she's been working in the new, Galaxy's Edge there at Disney World that they have, the new like Star Wars land.
You're talking to me about Star Wars bullshit. So I don't care.
She's all in that world, man. It just surprised me she hasn't seen it. But are you going to show, is The Mandalorian going to be part of your deal with Ashley or no?
No, we're sticking to movies.
That's unfortunate.
If we did the shows, we'd have to also include like Star Wars, The Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, all this bullshit. And it's like, just the movies. We're not dealing with this shit. It'd be too much of a pain in the ass.
And the only reason I say I mention it is because, okay, well, you know, I'm obviously a much bigger fan than the two of you guys. So take this with a grain of salt.
Who the fuck isn't?
Well, that's true. But take this with a grain of salt. But The Mandalorian as a season, you know, the 8 episodes or whatever, that work is the best thing that Star Wars has put out, with the exception of Empire Strikes Back and Rogue One. So those would be like my top three, like Star Wars works.
Boy.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I mean, you've heard my thoughts on Empire, so I mean.
So there you go. I have, and I'm just telling you. Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, I know what place it comes from, your take, but that's just my opinion. I just wanted to give my opinion there. That's all.
No. And you're more consensus than I am. I will check out The Mandalorian because I've heard such good things. I will not subject her to that unless, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, she should watch this.
She'll dig it, man. From what I've heard her say about some of the movies, I think she'll dig it.
She doesn't like Westerns, so she. Okay. I don't know if she would like this show.
Okay. Last few here. Tony Dobbish says Succession. Succession is the HBO version, kind of Billions, which is the one I mentioned on Showtime. But Succession is another one of those shows about like a greedy kind of family, like in all the wealth. Kind of like a Trump-type family, to be honest. I haven't seen it.
Oh, are they also COVID-19 deniers? Is that their thing?
I hope not. I hope not. Maybe that's the plot twist of the next season. I don't know. Let's see. Nick Haskins, our good buddy, our mutual friend that we're going to be doing the live stream with here in a few months, as he wants to piss you off with his fan feedback here, but let's see what he's got here. He's got, he said he's watched everything he's keen to watch, so he'll just say Letterkenny again, which is not the brief, Nick. But he'll also, I didn't say what do you want to rewatch that you've already watched, but he said also to piss Dan off, he's going to say The Get Down. But before you comment on that, he says, no, he has not seen The Mandalorian or Game of Thrones, and no, he does not care. What do you want to say about The Get Down? You were a big proponent of The Get Down.
We are a big proponent of The Get Down. That was the first show we ever really reviewed on the podcast, like episode 2, The Get Down. That was right. The topic. It's a Baz Luhrmann show, so I kind of understand why people are apprehensive to watch it, because Baz Luhrmann is a very polarizing person.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a kind of... I don't say fantasy version of 1980s Brooklyn, but it's a fantasy version of 1980s Brooklyn where they kind of romanticize the birth of hip hop.
Mm.
So
Is this the best? Is this your best Netflix show?
Oh God, no.
No. Okay. Well, I just knew you loved it.
You,
so much,
you know
so
what it is. You mentioned it already.
Did I?
Yes, it's BoJack Horseman, you
oh,
piece of shit.
Oh, that's right. Well, that's I wasn't thinking that's animated, but okay, yeah, you're right. I did know that.
I want to point out, at the end of, in the season four review, I went, oh, it's really funny how a show about an anthropomorphic horse talks more about humanity than any other show on television right now.
Yeah, it's on my top 10. That had to make you somewhat proud, right?
It did.
Of
I'm
all
just
the shows
I'm
available.
I'm just telling you, that is like the highest praise statement I could ever make for a show ever.
Yeah. Oh, yes, Pod Daddy. That's what Nick said. Let's see. Matt Lewinsky said anything on HBO or Showtime. I tried to get him to clarify, like, anything that they've ever put out. Like, you haven't seen any of them?
I'm the same way. I haven't seen a single thing on HBO or Showtime. So, and like, I get him.
And then the last thing I'll mention, my buddy Brandon, who runs the Rick and Morty podcast, has got Watchmen, Altered Carbon, which I think you saw, right?
Yes, I've seen the first season. I'm letting you finish before I comment.
And then he says that new Stephen King show, which I think he means...
Castle Rock,
that's right, yeah. What were you going to say about Altered Carbon?
That show's fine. The first season's fine. The second season, I haven't even attempted to watch. And then there's a new movie coming out called Altered Carbon Resleeved that looks like fucking anus.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the property should be great. It should be a really great property. I don't think they know what they're doing with it. Like, I don't know if the showrunners are the correct people to be in charge of it, but hey, whatever.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've never seen that one. I've seen the trailer. By the way, I turned off the autoplay on Netflix so it doesn't play the fucking trailer whenever I sit on it.
Oh, yes. Everybody, if you haven't done so, turn off autoplay.
Jesus, please.
I don't know.
Yes.
I posted that to every single fucking Facebook group I was in because I was like, this is massive news. You all need to do this right now.
I can't tell you how many times, and on my phone too, but I can't tell you how many times I've been like, you know, because sometimes I'll want to scroll through Netflix and not actually watch anything, but just like add it to my watch list or like see what's available for when I'm done, you know, putting my baby to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how many times the fucking autoplay woke up my baby as I was trying to put it to sleep, you know?
Well, I got in the habit of just muting my television anytime I would start browsing Netflix.
Exactly. All right, Dan, look, man, what do you want to say to the people about the COVID-19 thing? I mean, I feel horrible. It's an uncertain time. It's crazy. You know, we try to have fun here. I don't think podcasting is going anywhere, at least as long as my Wi-Fi doesn't cut out on me.
Right.
So I'll keep doing this and... You know, I'm sure you will too, but it's just a crazy time, man. So, you know, these shows, you got to be in your house because they're starting to quarantine more and more and more. And by the time this episode comes out in a couple weeks, I mean, who knows where the hell we'll be, Dan. So we just want to kind of lift people's spirits, give them some shows that they should watch that we will probably be watching in the coming weeks. But what do you want to, do you want to say anything to the folks, to the Peas listeners, man?
Stop panicking, wash your hands, employ common sense. That's really what it comes down to. The government and businesses wouldn't have to shut down if you could just employ common sense.
Yeah, that's
in terms of distancing yourself from people. You are the reason society is shutting down. Nobody else is at fault.
Especially the youngsters, man.
And I don't mean you individually. I mean, like, you as a society have ruined it to the point where we can't go to the movie theater anymore. I can't go shopping anymore. I can't do anything. I can't even work. I have to work from home, which, like, you would think would be a blessing, and I can watch all these great shows now, but fuck, am I going to get so distracted I'm never going to get any work done. So this is your fault that I'm going to get fired.
No, you're not. Try working from home with two small children.
I would kill myself.
Well, that could potentially happen. So dark days ahead, brother. So, wow. No, I echo everything Dan said. I mean, let's just wash our hands, guys. Let's don't cough in each other's faces. Let's, you know, stay home whenever possible. Just be smart. I mean, this thing
escalated quickly. Who are the people contracting this disease the most? Young people and old people. Okay,
yeah,
stay away from them.
I was going to tell you when you were, I didn't want to interrupt you, but I just saw a shot of a beach in Florida over the weekend where there was like packed with all these young people, like spring break or whatever. I'm just like, oh my God, how many people are literally spreading that as we speak? So they got to figure it out. I mean, you know, I don't have a ton of faith in our current government, but they got to hopefully propose some aid and help some people out. And we obviously wish you guys all the best. And we thank you for finding the time to tune into this episode. Dan, do you want to point them? Now, me and you are going to be doing the live stream for The Cure with Nick about 2.5 months or so after this airs. where do you want to point the folks, brother? Tell them where they can find you, where they can find that, where they can find whatever you want them to find, man.
Livestreamforthecure.com. Spelled out, no numbers, no anything. Livestreamforthecure.com. Livestreamforthecure.com. That's going to have the relevant information such as schedules, you know, what time we'll be on the air. Mm-hmm. One of my segments will be Dan walks through TSA security. Mm-hmm. The other one will be a cautionary tale of Netflix. To be determined as to when those will be shown, but I'll be there all weekend. You'll be there most of the weekend because you have responsibility. I have a girlfriend who doesn't give a fuck and is probably just going to watch Housewives while I'm gone. So
fair enough.
It's fine.
Yeah. Fair
but
enough.
Yeah, we're raising money for cancer research. I know at this point, money might be tight for some of you. Some of you might be losing jobs. You might be getting put on like laid off. You might be collecting unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, every single cent counts. So if you're able to give, give. If you're not able to give, share, and make sure it sees as many eyes as humanly possible. Because without people sharing, without people donating, we're not going to hit the goal of $10,000 given to cancer research.
Yeah, man. I second everything you said. I'm excited to be there this year in person. And I don't know what I'm going to be doing. I don't know what segments I'm going to do or where I'm going to be. But I'm there to help wherever I can. My boy Dan and obviously my boy Nick and Justin and Brian and everybody involved with the live stream for The Cure. So actually the promo for that, guys, preceded this episode. It was the promo at the very beginning of this episode. And then obviously it'll be in the show notes as well. So head over to livestreamforthecure.com and get all that information that's coming up in May. And I'm excited to be a part of it. Dan is also here from Netflix as well. So make sure you look him up. His info will be in the show notes and he'll probably be back on the show. Hell, if this quarantine keeps up, I might have you back on in a few days, man. We'll figure something out. Dan, as always, man, you know I love you. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, bye, Gerald.
All right, be safe out there. Wash your hands. Thank you for listening. Two Peas is an independent podcast. We rely on donations from our executive producers in order to release new content weekly. We would like to give a special thanks to all our current producers, Kathy Ross, Dan Brennick, Caleb Brownlee, Justin Esquivel, Paul Chomo, Carmen Signy, and Daniel Henderson. If you would like to become an executive producer and help us continue to release great content, please visit 2peasonapod at patreon.com or check out the show notes for this episode. Again, thank you for listening.